speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I remember whenever I was just a young boy being brought up in the church. It was a Crossroads Church of Christ back home, not a part of the Crossroads movement. We were at an intersection out in the country. It was a country congregation, and everyone knew one another, and to some degree a lot of us were kinfolks. And I remember sitting in the pew each Sunday morning. We didn't go back usually on Sunday nights. And yet at the same time, I remember going and spending time with the church family and thinking at a very young age that church was important, that is, going to worship services, but yet at the same time not really understanding the significance of who God is and what the church is really and truly all about. I remember also, though, going forward a few years whenever Don's family started coming to our congregation and Don's dad was preaching and teaching the gospel, and how that I took an interest in Don. And as I took an interest in Don, my Sunday night attendance became a little more, you could count on me a little more. And I will say that what I saw in my wife, who is my wife today, that her devotion to God was much greater than mine. She grew up in a home where that God was stressed, where that His Word was taught, and it was applied to your lives, and it was not only something that you did on Sunday mornings, but it was something as to who you were continually in and throughout the course of your life. Whenever Dawn and I married, we went to the congregation that I grew up in one Sunday, and then we went to the congregation that she grew up in on the other Sunday. So we would swap back and forth going between the Crossroads Church of Christ and the Youngs Creek Church of Christ until finally we had our first child, Trent. And we decided that we needed to establish ourselves with a congregation and work more so, if you would, full time. And that's when we started going to the Church of Christ there in Paoli, the town congregation. And we were blessed, I'm going to say, that shortly after we started going there, there was a minister who came to work with the congregation, Brother Bob Stapleton and his wife Marcia and their children. And Brother Bob, as you know, passed away just over a year ago. He was director of Brown Trail School Preaching at the time. I'm blessed to be able to say that at one point he was our preacher in Paoli, Indiana. And he did a wonderful job. And still, even though that I had come to grow in my knowledge of God and my love for the Lord, and in my understanding of more so what the church was about, there were some things that I still lacked. And I count Brother Bob, I give him great credit for helping to open my eyes on some things. One of those things is personal evangelism. I used to be an individual that thought that as long as I showed up on Sunday morning, that was okay. But I said my eyes were open to that due to my wife. Showing up on Sunday morning grew to where showing up on Sunday nights and being in attendance became a very top priority. And then the congregations that we grew up in back out in the country, they didn't have Wednesday night services. So to us, to begin with, Wednesday nights was an option. And then finally, we were convinced that the more time that we can spend with the church, the greater we're going to be as Christians, the stronger we're going to be. And therefore, we embrace this idea is that Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, we need to be in worship services. And the more that we were there, the more that we heard is that it's even much greater than that, is that we're to be involved in each other's lives. We're to get to know one another, to love one another, so that we will, as we sang just a few minutes ago, in loving each other to see that someday we will spend eternity in heaven with our God and with the family that God blesses us with here in this world. But you see, my eyes through Bob's preaching and teaching were open yet to yet still another greater area, and that was to evangelism. I believe today that evangelism is, if not one of the greatest needs, it may be the greatest need that we have in the world today. I believe that we are indeed a part of the true New Testament church, that the church is of Christ. We preach and teach what the Bible tells us that we must do as Christians and that we do not add to nor take away from. I believe that we have those things right. But friends, I do believe that we need to be doing much more in the realm of evangelism. Let me say personal evangelism. That's where we are personally involved, where that we are personally giving ourselves over to doing what God expects us to do. Now, to begin with tonight, I want us to think about what personal evangelism is. What does it mean? I want to introduce three or four Greek terms and give some explanation as to what is found there. The first is euangeliazo, and that is to proclaim glad tidings. It just in a general sense means that somebody has some good news to tell and they go about proclaiming that to people. You might have just gotten married and you want the world to know, and therefore you say, "We've just gotten married," or you introduce your spouse and you say, "This is my spouse," because you're very proud of them. Maybe as a husband and wife, you've just received news that you're going to have a child, and therefore you euangeliazo, you proclaim that news because you're excited about it. The next element that I want us to think about is euangelion. Euangelion is one that maybe we have heard from time to time, and that is to proclaim the good news. Good news. And again, it can refer to something just in a general manner, but when we think about it as it relates to our relationship with God, as it deals with us as Christians in Jesus Christ our Lord, we are to proclaim the good news about salvation in Jesus. To tell the world is really and truly what's under consideration here as to the fact that we are children of God. And the way that we became children of God is whenever our eyes were open and our hearts were pricked unto the fact that Jesus Christ, who came into this world, lived, suffered, bled, and died in order to give us a means of redemption. Whenever we came to understand these things, then we gave our lives over. We surrendered ourselves, submitted ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And we realize that, but as we looked into the fact of euangeliazo and euangelion, we are now proclaimers of that good news of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Another derivative of this is euangeliezes, which is the messenger who does the proclaiming. And as Christians, what God tells us as this term would relate to you and me is that every single Christian has a responsibility, has a role to play in being the messenger. Yes, in a very specific way, preachers, that is, in a very direct manner, as a preacher is spoken of in the Scripture, is responsible for proclaiming the message, as I'm doing tonight. Even elders are designated from God in Scripture, is that we are obligated to go out and to tell the church as well as to tell the world, and to use others even in sending them with a proclamation of the good news, but in a very detailed manner in and throughout the Scripture. And we're going to look at some of that tonight. Every single member of the body of Christ has this responsibility of proclaiming the good news to the entirety of the world. And euangelism, we interpret that evangelism today, is the act of teaching and bringing individuals to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we think about the terms God gives us, and as we look back through language, we're able to understand more so what it is that God expects of us as Christians in helping to bring people to our Lord and Savior. Somebody might say, well, why would I want to be involved in personal evangelism? Friends, you and I know that whenever God speaks to us, is that He's not in the business of just saying words for the sake of saying them. But rather, whenever God says something, God says it for a reason. And oftentimes, whenever He says things, we need to pay particular attention as to whether or not He's dealing with something that He expects us to understand and to know and maybe even to apply to our lives. Or is He dealing with direct commands? And often, what we find is that He's dealing with direct commandments. And whenever it comes to the business of evangelism, personal evangelism, the role that we are to play in helping to bring people to Christ, God commands us to be involved in evangelism on a very personal manner. And why should we evangelize? Because we want to obey God in doing so. I want to draw to our attention the context of what was read before us a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through verse 20. As Jesus has been resurrected from the grave, He appears in Galilee before the apostles, the 12, and minus Judas, that is. And there, what He proclaims to them is, He says, "All power, our authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth." What's He saying? He says, this which I'm getting ready to share with you comes from divine authority. He says, that which I'm getting ready to express is a God-given commandment. And He goes on then to explain to them that they are to go forth unto all nations, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or the end of the age, more accurately, I believe, in the translation. When He gave the apostles a commandment in that context to go into all the world and preach, they understood that that applied to them. And they went out. We find from the day of Pentecost and beyond that they were charged with this responsibility, and therefore they did everything that was within their power to do, from everything that we read, to make sure that every soul under heaven was able to hear the good news at that given time. And friends, also, not only did the apostles understand that this applied to them, we understand that the first century church also realized that this charge, this commandment, applied to them as well. We read of this, I believe, at least in part, beginning in Acts chapter 8, whenever Stephen has been stoned to death, and the church then is facing persecution. The Scripture says in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through verse 12, is that they went out into the region of Judea and Samaria, preaching and teaching Jesus, teaching the Word, and teaching things that was relevant to the kingdom of God. What were they doing? They were being evangelistic. What were they doing? They were personally involved in personal evangelism. And friends, what we find is that they were turning the world upside down in reaching out with the good news of Christ. So much so that men and women, multitudes of people, were being baptized into Christ, seemingly and certainly on some days especially, on a daily basis. Multitudes of people, thousands upon top of thousands of people, were putting Christ on in baptism because, not because they were haphazardly coming and learning about Him, but rather because the church was going and teaching lost souls about salvation in Christ. And today, this commandment that was given to the apostles, also that the first century church understood applied to them, also still applies to us in this age. We are commanded by God to be evangelists, to go out and to teach lost souls about God's saving grace in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So why should we evangelize? In obedience to God's commandments. But secondly, tonight I believe that we ought to be evangelistic minded. We ought to be people who are going about each and every day to try and bring souls to Christ in gratitude of God's mercy and grace to us. The Apostle Paul, whenever he was dealing with those in Rome, he reached out to those of Gentile, those who were not Jew. The Jews, remember, they had a special relationship with God. They were His chosen people. But in Christ, all of that is torn down. In Christ, There's not the Jew and the Greek. There's not the barbarian. And there's not the male and the female. But rather we're all one, or can be one, in Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore Paul, in speaking to those at Rome, he says that he found himself, or he considered himself as a debtor. Well, what's he mean by that? He's speaking about the fact that he was taking the gospel to them. And the reason that he was taking the gospel to them is because of what God had done for him. And friends, I can relate with that myself. Probably my greatest motivation in going and trying to bring souls to Christ is knowing full well what God has done and what God continues to do for me. And I want others to be able to be a recipient of that same mercy and of that same graciousness, of God's forgiveness and the hope that I'm able to have in Christ. And I trust that your heart's the same way. And therefore, because of our desire for others to be able to experience the mercy and the graciousness of God, God's saving grace in Christ, we ought to be compelled, as Paul was compelled, to go to and fro, to go far and wide upon the face of this earth, and to go even into our local community and into our homes with the good news about Jesus Christ our Lord. But then also, I believe that pity ought to factor into the equation, is that we ought to be evangelistic in pity for those who are lost outside of Jesus. Do you ever look at the world and you see that the world is lost? And I'm not talking about just, you know, in passing thinking about it. But do you ever just stop to think about, I mean, really and truly consider that the majority that is within our community here in Warren County, they're outside of Christ. Do you ever stop? Think about the billions upon top of billions of people, souls, that whenever Jesus Christ returns, they won't have a chance because they're outside of Christ. They're still in their sins. If you ever stop to think about that, how does it affect you? If it doesn't pull at your heart, maybe our heart's not right. If it doesn't challenge you, if it doesn't even try motivate you to get out and to tell, to share the good news with people, maybe you need to go back and to rethink where you are in your relationship with God. I think about the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, where he says, "My heart's desire is for Israel that she might be saved." As Paul looked out at his fellow Jews, he understood that some of them, the day of Pentecost, had been baptized into Christ. Others along the way had heard the good news and responded, but the majority of Israel had turned a deaf ear to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul not only was aware of this, but Paul was affected by this. And therefore, whenever I read from Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul says, "My heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved." I read those words, and Ronnie, I can't help but see agony in those terms. He's grieving over the fact of his brethren. Unless their condition changed, their state with God were to be changed, is that eternally someday they will be lost. And friends, you and I also ought to want to be evangelists. We ought to want to reach out and to do everything that is within our power to do to bring people to Jesus before the day of judgment. I believe that that's also in part what the Apostle Paul is dealing with in 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the good as well as the evil deeds that we've done in this life." In this paraphrase, you go on to verse 11. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," knowing the wrath of God and the day of judgment upon those who are outside of Christ, he says, "We seek to persuade men." You see, Paul, in pity, was reaching out to those who are outside of Christ. And I believe that that was a motivating factor in why we see him doing so much of what he did in his service for the Lord. But friends, also I believe that we ought to be evangelists. We ought to be people who are reaching out each day that we possibly can to help bring souls to Christ before they stand before God in judgment, in realization to the joy of bringing souls to Jesus. I cannot tell you, it's indescribable really to be able to put it into words how I feel whenever I'm able to sit across the table with folks and to share God's message with them. And let me say thank you to you, my brothers and sisters, for helping to support me and my family, enabling me to be able to do that on a full-time daily basis. But to be able to sit across the table with people and to know that they're lost and to be able to explore the Scripture and to help them see their state of which they're in and then to identify before them the will of God and the salvation in Jesus Christ and to see that light come on and to have these people say, I'm lost. I want to be baptized. And then to stand in the baptistry and to immerse them into Christ, as we just did with Brandon, just this last week. I still get chills going down my back, Julie, just thinking about it. We ought to evangelize, to be personal evangelists, in hopes of that great joy of bringing souls to Christ before the great day of judgment. But friends, also, tonight I want us to think about places or people that we must reach out to. People in foreign fields need God's saving grace. And I'm grateful for the number of worldwide evangelists, I don't know what else to call them tonight, that I know, that I feel blessed to know, who are serving in foreign fields or those who have served in foreign fields on a regular, full-time basis. To me, that's a sacrifice. To be away from your family for 6 months to a year or even longer. I know men and their wives and sometimes even their children who have served in foreign fields, preaching and teaching Christ in Africa, in China, in Malaysia, and other parts of the world. This is what they do day in and day out, year after year after year after year. They're from the United States and their family's here, but still they spent all their lives out in the foreign fields preaching and teaching Christ. And to those individuals, I'm grateful for. To me, that's a sacrifice. As a congregation, we are blessed to be able to support some of those individuals. And I want to encourage us to do that on a regular basis and maybe even to do more and more of that as we move forward as a congregation. Because people in foreign lands are not as blessed as what we are. They don't have the opportunities, the avenues that we have here in this world to have God's Word ready and available or shared as freely as what we're able to do it here in the United States. For friends, also, another area that I want us to think about is that family members should be our top priority in reaching out to those who are outside of Christ. I think about in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And in preaching concerning the will of God for the people of that day, I can't help but imagine that Noah was saying, you know, God's going to destroy the earth. God sees all the wickedness and this constitutes sin in His sight. And this sin separates you from God. And the only way in which you can be saved is to turn to God. And in turning from God, you're turning away from your sin. And the only safety is in the ark. People of that day laughed and mocked and ridiculed him. You say, Kevin, how do you know? The Scripture says from the 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Who were they? Go back to Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7. It was Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. Eight souls. Eight out of, some say, millions. And while he was a preacher of righteousness to, let's say, millions, just for the sake of a number, the souls that he was able to reach above all were his family members. The moms and dads, husbands and wives, let's do everything that we can to bring our children, to bring our spouses, if they're outside of Christ, to the Lord before it's too late. And let's even reach beyond that within our families, to our aunts and uncles, to our grandparents, to our cousins and such. Let's live an exemplary life before them, but let's also proclaim the Word before them each and every opportunity that God affords us each day. But friends, then I believe that our friends deserve an opportunity also to be saved. And whenever I use the word friends here, I'm using that somewhat loosely to identify people that we come in contact with, people, acquaintances that we make throughout the course of our life. It may be people that you work with. It may be people that you've gone to school with. It may be people, kids that you're going to school with. It may be people that you just hang out with. As you've got a lot of things in common with your kids or their kids' age, and you know, you guys have had a friendship going on for year after year after year. You get together and you play cards. Those people that you've made connection with, that God has put in your life. Let me stress that. That God has put into your life. Don't only be a friend to them. Be the greatest of friend that you can possibly be in helping them to understand who their Savior is. Christ. I remember a song, if I can remember the part of the lyrics to it, Joel. And that is that you never mentioned Him to me. Does that sound right? You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned Him to me. Whenever I think about my friends, I think about that you met me day by day and knew I was astray, and yet you never mentioned Him to me. Brethren, let's not leave our friends in that situation without ever sharing Christ with them. And I'm not saying that we need to beat or to badger them about where they are and things of that nature, but let's take opportunities whenever doors are open, whenever we have a chance, to just say something in a very polite, subtle, Christ-like manner that might be food for thought, that would provoke them to consider where they are and their life beyond this life, to be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God. Where must we go? Into foreign lands. We must also go to our family. We must also go to our friends. What am I saying? Every single soul needs a chance to learn the truth. And I stress that, to learn the truth. There is a lot being said in the religious world. Amen. And the majority is not truth. Satan's using so many different angles and avenues, so many different excellent orators. There are a lot of people in denominations that are much better spokesmen than myself. They're great lecturers, and they're able to say things that will tickle the ears of people. And they're drawn to that. The world is drawn to that. But you and I, we're in the truth. And let's take every opportunity that we have to teach every single soul that we possibly can about Christ, to lay the truth before them, and to give them that opportunity to make a decision for themselves as to whom they will serve, whether it be God or themselves in life. Nearly everywhere, I'll say it this way. We try to do it everywhere. But nearly everywhere that we go, we try to ask people how they're doing. And that's a door opener, I'll say. We do care about how people are doing. But above all, we want to give greater thought. How are you doing? And if I know that they're not a Christian, and especially if it's the first time that I'm dealing with them, we tell them that we're with the East End Church of Christ and that we would love to have them come and visit with us. We've had so many different opportunities to sit and to talk with people just because we express a desire to want to know how they're doing, as well as to be able to just say, "How's your day?" We've even had people break down because they've got things going on in their lives. And then they want to talk further. Some of them have turned into Bible studies through the years. Others of them have not gone anywhere. But the point of the matter is that every opportunity that we have, let's do what we can to evangelize and to bring souls to Christ. It has been said by our scholars within the brotherhood, is that evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. You heard me say this morning in the lesson, is that it has also been said, is that the church is really only one generation away from apostasy if the truth is not taught, if we're not raised in our families according to God's will. My friends, also I believe that the church is only one generation away from closing the doors on a local congregation if the local congregation are not, if the members of the local congregation are not evangelistic minded. Because together is how we grow the church and keep the church moving forward. So therefore tonight, I want to encourage all of us to be evangelistic minded. I want to encourage each and every one of us to be thinking about our family, to be thinking about our friends, to be thinking about people that we meet either on a daily basis or even strangers that we come across. How can we reach out to them to let them know that we care about them, their soul, and what might we be able to say or to do to open an opportunity, a door, to be able to teach them about Christ before it's too late. As the preacher here, I'm open to go with you to help in any way possible, as I also know my fellow elders are. And we will do anything that we can to help bring souls to Christ. In bringing souls to Christ tonight, while the lesson has not been about those who are outside of Christ per se, we have mentioned that, it has been more so about our roles as Christians to be evangelists. Yet, in this matter, certainly every opportunity that we're together, we want to give a chance for those who may be considering becoming a Christian to do so before we depart. And therefore, tonight, if you're outside of Christ and you've not become a Christian, you've not been baptized, that is, into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we want to express to you that we would love to be able to assist you in this very hour. Or if you're here and you've fallen by the wayside and you need prayer, we will pray with you also that you would be able to be restored. If you're here tonight subject to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come.